Welcome back, everybody, to Rain on Your Parade with J.O. Covan. I'm J.O. Covan, and our country is a pathetic mess. And here with me, as always, in this moral failure we call America, is Producer Mike. Hey, Producer Mike.
Hi, J.L. Hi, everybody. I don't know what you're talking about. I think everything went exactly according to plan last night. Everything that I wanted to happen happened. Things went my way last night, the way that I voted. So I just want everybody to know that. And my guy won, and I'm excited about that. Nice. So, you know, I know that you're upset, JL, because you're woke, and that's lame.
I'm also a beta.
I just want everybody to know that the whole time I was supporting Trump, the whole time.
That chest hair, these colors and that chest hair don't run.
Yeah, the whole time. He was my guy.
All right. Well, what a heel turn on Rain on Your Parade.
I'm just trying to keep myself out of the gallows.
What a heel turn.
I wanted to do a whole bit with the MAGA hat. Where I said, gotcha. That's why I asked you, where I was just like, no, he's my guy the whole time.
Like NWO.
Yeah, yeah. Because, I mean, I've been very anxious because I do think even the idea of having, a couple years of opposing the guy is a bit frightening. Now, knowing what could possibly happen.
Well, I ain't scared. Gerd, Mike.
I'm good. Good. I'm glad.
Yeah.
I can use you as a human shield.
Because here's the thing. Here's the deal, man.
Yeah.
Last night, I promised my Patreon subscribers, and thank you to anybody listening to this, the call to action was finally heated. I picked up like 50 Patreon subscribers.
Love it.
Because I promised a 7-hour marathon commentary in character as Trump. Mm-hmm. Now I stuck it out for 5 hours and only broke character with permission of the fans like 3 times.
Okay.
I ordered McDonald's. I ate McDonald's on camera. That was my first meal break.
Delicious.
I had Diet Coke. And I had a pint of vanilla bean ice cream, which led, by the way, to a moment that was, I didn't record it. It was just for the live people. But, where I was saying before I knew which ice cream Laura was getting me, I said, just get a vanilla. She loves vanilla bean. And I said, I always say, just give me plain vanilla, the plainest. So there's no, as little extra as possible. So I do a joke where I say, I don't like vanilla bean. Because it's like, we love our vanilla. And then we get the beans and they're like little diversity pebbles in the ice cream. And the next thing you know, you wake up and you've got double chocolate chip. You've got caramel swirl. You've got mint chocolate chip. You've got all these diverse, they're like diversity sleeper cells. They sit in our beautiful vanilla ice cream. And the next thing you know, you're choking on black dots going, what the hell happened to our ice cream? And then she actually walked in with some vanilla bean ice cream. So it worked even better. And so I think people had fun. I stayed in character most of the night, but then a funny thing started happening, Mike.
What was that?
Donald Trump started winning.
Yeah.
And you know what, President, soon to be President Trump, I am tired of winning. You're right. I'm watching the TV and I'm flipping between 4 different channels. Kudos to Newsmax, who pretended to be a real news station for several hours. Mm-hmm. I was kind of impressed where I was like, oh, they have like a marginally attractive blonde and like a serious guy who I think used to be on CNN. I think he got fired for sexual harassment, but that's
when you're
Newsmax, you're sort of like one of those community colleges on Netflix sports series where it's like he murdered 3 people, but we're giving him a chance to make it to the league.
Last chance you.
Yeah. Last chance news. That's what Newsmax is. I'm just trying to get a second chance to tell propaganda for President Trump. Well, you raped somebody at CNN. What do you have to say for yourself? I won't do it again. I'm going to give you this one chance. Don't rape anybody and we'll get you on Newsmax. I turned to Fox and it was Fox that started to tell me what was going on.
It's funny. That's when I turned to Fox for a little bit too. And that's when I started saying they're lying.
They had some big dick energy.
Yes.
They kind of had we're just having fun. Like they weren't calling anything, but there's a little pep in their step, a little Sean Hannity chest out.
Hannity had a line that I texted to one of my group chats, and I was like, oh, I was like, he's up, they're already, what are you talking about? I had to double text you to even get a response.
I was busy. I'm sorry. I was trying to heal the nation.
I was texting you and you were like not having it.
I caught it like late. Like I caught all my texts late. I was literally like, I was having hip problems because I was on my couch for five straight hours. I know.
But I was, so I sent it to the group
chat. Hips don't lie, Mike. Hips don't lie.
There was a point in the night before they started calling some of the states where he goes, I'm talking to the Trump team on the ground in Philadelphia. And they're saying, you know, Kamala Harris's team is saying that there is a record turnout in Philadelphia and they're just not seeing it. And I texted my friends and I was like, he's already starting with the fucking, the election's rigged, all this shit. They're like padding this. So when she wins Pennsylvania, all of a sudden it's going to be like, well, we heard from the Trump camp that these people weren't actually there.
Right.
Turns out he was just reporting
the truth.
Yeah. When does that ever happen?
Fox decided to go with a new direction this election night and share facts.
Yeah, I know.
Well, it was seeing them. I didn't really care. I don't really care for MSNBC. I just check in to see there. And I did see their mood steadily declining. But I stuck with CNN for the most part because they were just the most focused. Fox was also, to be fair, the most focused on getting me like results. And Fox was making early calls, which to be fair, I'm no fan of Fox News. But they did have the cojones or were stupid enough to declare Arizona before everybody last year. And they were right. Mm-hmm. And Trump like wanted to murder them for it.
Yeah.
But I think this year they were like, we're calling everything early. Yep. We got this. So their score was ahead of everybody. And I was entered.
Yeah, they called him the president-elect first.
Yeah.
As far as I know.
I guess he'll forgive them now. You're off my kill list. But I'm watching it and it was like certain things. Like when you see the governor's race in North Carolina get called, but not, you're like, oh, okay, so he won, but this is some ballot splitting. Mm-hmm. There were some, and Arizona, another example of, I don't know who's won Arizona. Maybe they haven't called it yet, but Carrie Lake, I believe, lost to Ruben Gallego. But what I'm noticing in these races, what's interesting. So Trump wins. And I was up till 3 a.m. and then woke up at 5:30 for work. The grind never stops, people. Mm-hmm. And I was sort of dumbfounded. I wasn't even angry. I was just in sort of, I don't want to say a state of shock, but I was into like this. And the good thing about election night is it's a slow burn. Even if it's coming in bad, there's no like moment at 10:30 where they're like, we've got 9 battleground states to declare, game over, where you feel like you got shot in the face. You just get that tone that like right-wing journalists start to feel themselves. Yep. Left-wing start to talk in more hushed tones and more like, well, you know, it's a tough race, but it's still open. Technically, it's still open. We're going to see what happens with these 9 states that she has to go 9 for 9 for.
Although I will say I was watching the ABC broadcast.
Oh, okay.
And I'll tell you what, Donna Brazile at no point conceded.
Okay.
The whole time. So it was Donna Brazile, Reince Priebus and Chris Christie. And even Reince Priebus was kind of like easing in, like it's starting to not really look very good for the Harris campaign. The path is starting to narrow, and then Brazile would just like talk over him and just be like, I don't know. Don't be going to the fridge yet and getting a beer because it's not over yet. It's just like, what?
And meanwhile, Chris Christie is like, what about the fridge? Don't go to the fridge. Right. So I'm not going to the fridge. The Greg Giraldo, if he were roasting Chris Christie, would just go, Chris Christie, you fat fuck. So as he's winning, I'm watching it and I'm just feeling this sense of grossness. And I know the rituals everybody's going to go through. And I remember I made this video that's gone a little semi-viral across multiple platforms from last night. And I also made an appearance on, I made a brief appearance on Pete Dominic's sort of Patreon gathering for election night. Mm. And I just did like a 7-minute rant summing up what I thought was going on. And I said, I'm not going to do the Trump voice, but it was just basically, you're going to blame Biden for not getting out early enough. You're going to blame Harris for not giving plans enough or not being a good enough candidate or whatever. you're going to blame Democrats for losing the working class, for not caring enough. You're going to blame Democrats for being Democrats. You're going to say they've abandoned this, they've abandoned that. They should have ditched Israel. They should have. Now, here's the thing. If it came down to Michigan and the Arab vote cost the election, you can narrow it there and say, well, I guess that would have been a smart strategy. She got fucking wiped out. The Senate just had like a bloodbath. This was a full and total embrace of MAGA. So when everybody wants to feel like we're not surrounded by ignorant scumbags, they want to be like, no, you did it because you decided to reinforce American policy for the last 75 years. That's why we lost. Oh, no. You've abandoned the working class. Forget the fact that Joe Biden's the most pro-union president. The economy is kicking fucking ass. He picketed with workers. He's done so much in his legislation to guarantee more manufacturing at home. But we're so against the working class in the Democratic Party. You know, it's not Bill Clinton signing NAFTA anymore. That's the thing. Bad narratives about Democrats stick. We're still 1995, I guess, in our Brooks Brothers suits going, working people, I have a graduate degree, you working filth. And Republicans are still the party of faith, values, military, and freedom, and religion, and love. And meanwhile, Trump is, you know, fucking a whore on an altar in a church, you know, giving the middle finger to the coffin of a dead soldier. And they're going, God, what virality, what energy from our president. So watching this, I just wanted to cut off all the narratives which are flowing today. The New York Times podcast, just Ested Herndon at one point, just basically, he might as well have said, fuck Joe Biden. And
the Daily?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It had a real vibe of like, Joe Biden had a chance to go, everybody's doing this revisionist history with Joe Biden. I get it. He's fucking old. He had a bad debate. He stepped out. It was tough. Everybody in this world who will fight tooth and nail for a fucking parking spot or to cut you in line for a fucking concession at a movie, all of a sudden we're all Mahatma Gandhi when it comes to fucking Joe Biden's need to be a selfless servant who immediately sheds his ego and 50 years of work and goes, I humble myself in front of you, you fucking trash population, you fucking thieves and scumbags of America. I prostrate myself in front of you and say, please humbly accept my resignation. You've never given me credit for all the shit I've done. Please just know I am willing. I don't want any credit. I sacrifice myself. Please elect Gretchen Whitmer or Oprah or whoever you deem worthy in this generous allotment of time. By the way, I still have to sign the fucking infrastructure bill. Can I do that or do I have to get out now? Hey, why did Joe Biden even run in 2020? How rude. How rude of Joe Biden to even run for the office. Didn't he know he was old? So that's part of it. This like, oh, we're just going to blame the same people, because the thing you can't do if you're a journalist or a politician is say, Donald Trump was convicted of 34 felonies. In the words of Vince McMahon, he's a rapist. And he talks about wanting to fuck his daughter. He doesn't pay workers. He is vulgar. He is stupid. He is unprepared. He is not a hard worker. He speaks of communities in the most vulgar, awful, discriminatory terms. He thinks of people as pawns in his game for power. He is nakedly obvious about all of this. His people are deluded. They will say, I think he cares. A guy I talked to recently was like, all his flaws, I do think he wants what's best for the country. And I had to hold my tongue instead of saying, because I was at work, I wanted to say, are you fucking kidding me? How do you have this job if you're that fucking stupid? You think that? Donald Trump doesn't give a fuck about anybody. He went to the movies when his brother was dying. He tried to cut off his special needs nephew because there was an argument with the trusts and estates. So he tried to say, fuck you, to his special needs. Or he had like severe medical care. It might not have been special needs. It was like severe medical care. He's like, well, I'm going to cut him off unless you shine over. Like just Christian. So Christian. Such a good guy. He doesn't care about his own family. He doesn't care about anybody, but suddenly he cares about America above all else. What a bunch of horse shit. But we've got to blame somebody, and we can't blame the American voters. we're just going to keep hearing this for years. The only people we can't blame are the people who vote for Donald Trump.
But all right, so here is yeah. What?
No, please.
I listen. I get where you're coming from, JL. Mm-hmm. I also think that it, in fairness, it is on the Democrats to keep the people voting for them. Am I wrong?
I'm going to say my thesis of this whole fucking show. The people are dumb.
I know.
No.
This is the country that we live in, dude.
But they have, the dumbness has accelerated. Okay? The ignorance has accelerated. And I guess the Democrats keep trying to work. And they haven't yet achieved let's turn politics into WrestleMania yet.
That's true.
You know, like maybe we should have Wes Moore, who's like a handsome Jack Black guy, fuck big tits Gretchen Whitmer at the next convention. Do you want, hey guys, text in if you want him to titty fuck the governor of Michigan. Yeah, that's my president. This is where we are. I am not exaggerating. That's where the fuck we are. Donald Trump. You know, in the words of Bane, like we have to adopt the stupidity. I was born in it. That we like he's a pig in shit.
Yeah.
And we it's like there has to be a moment where we say, when are we going? Like it is lost. This has been the thing. I'm sorry. We can keep going. But what about Democrats? Joe Biden was a kindly old man who had a kick-ass 2 years. Nobody gave him a fucking credit. Nobody paid attention. Nobody pays attention to anything except eggs are expensive. And then they aren't expensive anymore. And you know what they say? But eggs is expensive. Gas is too expensive. Sir, what's the gas cost? $2.90. It's $2.90 again? How long has it been $2.90 again? 8 months. 8 months, you fucking hayseed. Yeah, well, Trump just cares more. I think I like his plans for the economy. I think his policies was better for the economy. Well, your 401, you don't have a 401k. I'm just kidding, you shit kicker. The stock market's better. Unemployment is lower. Unemployment across the board and every demographic is lower. Blacks for Trump. Sammy Sosa's for Trump. I don't even call them Latinos for Trump. They're Sammy Sosa's, and we know what that means. They want to be, they're like, the Italians and the Irish got to be welcomed into the white fold. Can we start with the white Cubans and work our way backwards? We're not going to let the Afro Latinos get in here. Okay, guys, we're all right. We all know that's not happening. Okay. But like, you know, A-Rod, where are we on A-Rod? Can we call A-Rod as the dividing line of Latinos for and against Trump? Yes. Okay, great. No more tanning, A-Rod. No more tanning or you won't get in. This is my problem is that there is, everybody's got to have a reckoning. Everyone's got to have a soul searching. You know, the only two people who didn't have a soul searching, Trump and Trump voters, because the Republican Party wanted to do, they had the autopsy after 2012. They're like, we need to reach out to immigrants. We need to broaden the party. They are saying they had that moment of what you're saying the Democrats kind of have to do. They have to keep reaching the voters and find a way to reach more of their voters, more of their voters back. But you know what? You know what Trump did?
The same thing.
Yeah. Trump said, fuck them. I'm going to call them animals. And you know what? Enough of them will say, I'm not an animal. Maybe you are an animal. I am not an animal.
I know black puppy.
Yeah, I know black. And there's that, like we talked about, that reverse psychology of like, well, if I join my oppressor, I'm not a victim. Right. I've reverse engineered success. Because even though he thinks I'm scum and calls people who look like me rapists and illegals and savages, if I join with him, I can't be that, right? Because I've played chess while he's playing racist checkers. So my thing is, we never acknowledge that what Joe Biden did was great, and people go, but he never campaigned on it. He didn't do enough campaigning, and it's we want all show. We don't even care about substance. Like we don't even need both. What Trump has proven is we are so shallow now and so low information that vibes are really all that count. That's it. Like we might as well, like who should we elect as who should we nominate? It shouldn't be a politician.
Well, yeah, I was thinking about this last night. We had this conversation a few weeks ago. I don't know, dude. I mean, I think the obvious answer seems like
Howard Stern.
But, well, yeah, somebody
who's
that.
Who's now embraced by the left, but has his you know, he has his degree in white scumbaggery.
Right. Could
his,
shit talk.
His and PhD like, in white filth. But now he's like, you know, sort of an icon of the left because he's come to Jesus. Yeah. Maybe Howard Stern, and he's tall.
Yeah.
All the shallow things that are important.
Yeah. But he's a Jew. That's not good.
And they will not replace us, Mike. I've heard that from somebody. Maybe Joe Biden. It must have been the Democrats who were saying that stuff because they're bad.
But I do think that this is the one thing where I was thinking about it last night. And even, again, going back to the Donna Brazile thing, I do think, who was it on that New York Times podcast that was talking about?
Ested Herndon was the one who like basically wanted to blame. I mean, there's Nate Cohn does the stats. Ested Herndon was the one like, Joe Biden should have stepped down. Joe Biden, like
we mentioned at some point, that the way that the Dems were kind of looking at their breakdowns, they were looking at demographics specifically, mm-hmm. where I don't think Republicans were quite. They were really kind of going towards, like, running towards just like white young white guys.
Yeah,
and basically, like, they were just for everybody else. It was like you can get on the Trump train. Like, it's not like they
Come
were running towards.
Board. Right. It's a racist train.
But I think when you look at like even the way that Donna Brazile was breaking this stuff down, when I was watching on ABC, I kept watching and I was just like, I don't think she knows what she's doing anymore. Not that she might not have at some point, even right. though the fucking the.
But you it know, could also be spin. It could also be your own TV.
Be. Of course, it could be. But I just feel in general, as a Democrat, I am a Democrat, like in name, you know. It does, and I'm not even...
Democrat in the voting booth, socialist in the kissing booth. I don't know.
I have leanings that way. I'm not quite all the way crazy on the left, but like as somebody, do I feel like they've lost me? I feel like they've disappointed me. I don't think that they've lost me because I wasn't going to vote for Trump. There was no way I was going to do that, but... It is hard to feel as much as I actually did like Kamala as a candidate, like over the 2 months or whatever that I had to get to know, 4 months, whatever. I don't feel like they're equipped to win an election. And I don't think it's because she was a bad candidate. I think the Biden thing was a bit of a mess, but I just feel like Trump has embraced the...
It's wrestling and he's the heel.
But it's beyond that.
Yeah.
Like he knows which media. The fact that he had that push in the last 2 weeks in the Austin comedy scene.
Puerto
like,
Rico.
Yeah. Like he just knew exactly which buttons to press and what shows to be on to reach the people that he was going to need to get elected. And, you know, the Dems didn't do that. Like the Dems are SNL. Which, as we've talked many times, is in decline.
I've loved the last two episodes. I've loved.
Of course. But I'm saying, like, in general, does SNL have the juice that it had 20 years ago?
It does not.
You know, I think that this is kind of where we're at, where I think
it has a few Jews, but not as many, if that's what you were asking.
I think the Dems are, you know, their network, which is doesn't have the juice that it once had, the reach that it once had. And Trump is, you know. YouTube.
Okay.
You know, or Netflix.
Tubi.
Right.
Yeah. No, and that's fair, but this is now what one might call a race to the bottom, I think, which is Trump has lowered the discourse and now the fight is in the mud and it's about lying. It's about making just bullshitting and it's about having somebody charismatic. And I don't mean Kamala Harris is a nice looking woman, and I felt the energy was really good around her. She was great on SNL, et cetera. I mean, obviously, she should have taken a day out of her schedule to do a 3-hour podcast with Joe Rogan. No, I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, I'm not.
I am.
I think it matters.
I think
JL, whether you like it or not, this is the thing. And this is why I think there's. I have a person close
Hillary
to me.
Clinton didn't visit Wisconsin enough. And now that's not even politics. It's she didn't go to fucking Rogan.
No, but you're right. All right. So this is the issue.
And who do you think she would have converted from the Rogan fan base? Which one of those gentlemen would have stopped mid date rape and said, hold on, honey, I got to listen to this.
I don't know that.
Get me my alpha brain.
I think it's the optics of at least courting these people. And I think so it might not have flipped the whole audience, but this is the issue, JL. And I love you dearly. And I don't disagree with what you're saying. But this mindset is why Trump won again. Because if all the Dems want to act like this country is full of idiots, which, I mean, we think it is, and trashy people.
Yep.
Do you want to govern those people that you hate?
Nope.
So this is the issue.
I'm what the Republicans should fear. Because if I ever get in power, I will be the vicious leftist.
So run.
Yeah.
What if
I got up there? What if I start running like next year, just start building a grassroots campaign? And I'm like, you see that fat fuck over there? I'm going to bury his ass. How about this? We do a steel cage match. Whoever wins gets the presidency. Come on, you fat bitch. You can bring your little chinless son in, Don Jr. Whoa, this guy's tough. Ooh, bro. No, they won't. Because they'll say, no, no, we only like that when it comes from Trump.
Yeah.
So there's like some, okay. First, I want to take a step back because I want to break this down a little bit. And this was a thought I had coming here.
I'm trying to let you cook as much as possible, by the way. But I'm also trying to.
Yeah, yeah, I understand. Because there is a level where the Democrats are at that level where it's like, as I've made the single mom analogy before, and Republicans are the deadbeat dads. We're at the level for Democrats where it's like, mom has an MBA and a good job, but she just doesn't have as much time at home with Sonny, and Sonny's pulling away. So what, now dad's a pimp. Dad abuses streetwalkers, not like only, like he pimps like runaways on corners. Mm-hmm. Okay. But he's got some walking around money. So what mom has to do to make sure she has a more flexible, because she has to go to the office 4 days a week, hire childcare. They're really straining. The son is starting to really think that maybe dad is who he wants to be with. So mom has a choice. Do hardcore OnlyFans so that she can win the affection of her son back. That's what we're asking Democrats to do. We're basically saying demean yourself, debase yourself, shed your values, shed your seriousness, shed your agenda, which is better for people, flat out. And like, try to be as shitty and as vapid as Republicans, because then maybe you can win over some of these people. And that's when I say, as Ben Franklin said, I believe it was Ben Franklin, what form of government do you have? A republic, if they can keep it. Well, you can keep it if it takes us going to that level. That's what I say. I say, let it burn. Let it go to hell. I am Joe Clark at the beginning of Lean On Me, walking out of East Side High while Welcome to the Jungle starts playing in the background and the place goes to shit. You can all go to hell. What bothers me about this is, other than the shallow marketing that needs to happen, like I don't even know who we should nominate. You know, we're going to come up with our bench of talent in 2028. Pete Buttigieg, gay, done.
Yeah, not gonna work.
Right, like
that was my first thought.
Pete Buttigieg,
done.
I'm sorry that you're brilliant and that you are a Midwest whisperer and that you're smarter than everybody and that you'd probably do a great job. You're gay. Bye.
Yep.
Great. Great. America, 2028.
JL, Trump for you, Kamala for they, them ads fucking worked.
Yeah,
they worked. I mean, that's what this election became.
Oh boy, if I were the parent of a trans child, I'd be getting a gun. Like, we don't do that.
The good thing is we live in America. You can get a gun anywhere.
Yeah. No, I'm saying if I was, I shouldn't say this, but anybody on the right, you know, if you fucking steal their Mountain Dew, they're ready to throw down and end your life. But it's like, if you're the parent of a trans child who's being discriminated against, humiliated, turned into a villain for America by Trump, man, something's got to give. Like in a righteous movie, it'd be Denzel Washington, you know, you talking to my son, you think my son, you know, and then all of a sudden he just goes like fucking equalizer, trans equalizer.
John LGBTQ.
Yeah. Very,
thank you.
Very good. Now we're cooking. No, but like the slightest disrespect of anything on the right, Donald Trump, our country's garbage. We're the dumping ground. We're the cum dumpster of the world. Joe Biden goes, hey, don't call Puerto Ricans garbage. You're garbage. He called us garbage. He called us garbage just for being racist and having a hate rally. Now we're garbage. Well, I'm certainly not voting for him now. How dare he? How dare he?
It's amazing to me, by the way. They at the beginning of the night, they were talking about the Tony Hinchcliffe thing on every network. I watched the Prime coverage. I checked in on everywhere. And before they started calling any of the states, they were like, the Hispanic vote, they're really mobilized after that MSG rally and that comedian. Oh, they were mobilized. And then they're like, this could swing Pennsylvania and Florida. Who knows? And then like 10 minutes later, they're like, well, Trump has officially won Florida. It was like less than 15 minutes.
What is I'm not black in Spanish? Because those will be the signs I hand out to Latinos for JL in 2028. Yeah. Me no negro. Me no negro. That's right, guys. You're not. Yeah, I'm with you. I'm half, but look at me. I could be white Cuban. Yeah, we're the best. So what I think, though, is it's, and this is a broader point, the branding of like the branding of the Republican Party is so set in stone that Trump being the complete opposite of what they've stood for doesn't matter.
Yeah.
And yet they still get to be it. He's pro-Christian. He's a Christian. He's a good Christian. He's pro troops. He's pro military. Like, you're laughing because it's like everything he does is he's the most not those things. He's the most not.
Yeah.
He's pro family. He's pro none of these things. He's the worst. He's the absolute worst if you care about any of these things. And it makes me realize, and Democrats, no matter what they do, can't get a piece of that. It's like Joe Biden's son, you know, served and died. Joe Biden picketed with workers. You know, he's on the picket line with union workers. He passed these bills that are getting fucking factories built. Like there was an article in The Atlantic that talked about all the things he built into these big, huge bills where they kind of decided instead of getting industries to give up things, we're going to build and incentivize the industries we want. So solar factories, electric vehicle and battery factories, we're going to build them. If they build it, they will come. We're building factories in abandoned towns and the workers are coming and there's new jobs. And it's a brilliant plan. Instead of going naysaying, instead of doing the Democrat, you can't use gas anymore. No, we're going to build the market for the competing product. Mm-hmm. And no credit, none. Maybe like 8 workers were like, why did this factory open up? Why am I not homeless anymore? Why does my kids have health cares? I don't know, Trump. So things like that. But this is what bothers me. I'm going to make an analogy to the national anthem. Because, you know, Donald Trump has done nothing but as soon as he was out of office, America's a joke. We're a laughingstock. We suck. We're garbage. Our country's a joke. We don't win anymore. He's the most negative fucking dude about America if he's not president. Mm-hmm. America's a piece of shit, basically. And I remembered Obama, his pastor, Jeremiah Wright, had the audacity as a older black man in America to say, God damn America. They say, God bless America. I say, God damn America. What?
Yeah.
What did this older black man who might have witnessed hate crimes and maybe had his life threatened at some point by racists, what did he just say? Mm-hmm. And what that is, and this is my analogy, and this is, I think, this is, everybody, you're going to want to listen to this because this is going to be hot fire. You have a country where white people own the anthem. They own patriotism. Okay. You go to a hockey game. It's my favorite analogy. I've now been to 4 different hockey arenas. The national, everybody, could you please stand, remove your hats, salute the anthem. Oh, say, can you see? Fuck you, Rangers! By the dawn's early light, what so proudly we hail. Penguins suck dick at the twilight's last gleaming. Fuck you, cunt, and the rocket's red glare. You're a bitch, and the bomb's in the air. Let's go, Penguins! Grave Proof NYPD, NYPD, NYPD. There's your anthem. There's the respect. The respect for the anthem from these hordes of white trash. These, oh my God, they all look like late 2000s Artie Lang walking around the garden. They're like, I haven't shaved in 6 days. Fuck you, cunt. You cut me in line, bitch. I want my Z-Bear fucking right. Get the fuck out of here. What are you, a fucking Caps fan? Fucking suck dick. Anyway, the anthem. That's what going to a hockey game is like. But I realized something. Yeah, you go to another sports game. Let's say you're even an athlete who respectfully kneels during the anthem. Get that. You lose your job. You lose your livelihood. But that's because he's black. He doesn't own the anthem. Black people have to lease the national anthem. It's owned by white people, but
okay, Dave Chappelle.
They have to lease the anthem. They don't get to, they don't own it. They lease it. They have to lease it. They are offered favorable terms. Respect our anthem. Show proper respect. Yeah. Don't disrespect the troops. And you can continue to be a free American who can have free speech. Not here, though.
Yeah.
You can't express yourself here. No, I can. I can call Edmonton Oilers homos during the national anthem. You're oiling up your assholes, Connor McDavid. And the Rockets' red glare. Hey, Shesterkin, suck my Putin. The bomb's bursting in air. FDNY, FDNY, fire, 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 fire. So the point is they get to own it. So they get to do what they want. You know, it's like, no, this is my anthem. I can fucking throw it around. Don't you disrespect my anthem. That's my mommy bought me my anthem. Mm-hmm. You're a black. You got to respect it. That you don't own it. I'll let you borrow it. If you act right, I'll let you borrow my anthem. So we have a situation where, and I think the Jeremiah Wright, Donald Trump comparison, Obama had to disavow his pastor for something his pastor said like 7 years earlier after like 9/11 or something. And he had to be like, Jeremiah Wright, fuck off. Never liked your sermons. I'm going to a new church with Michelle. This is not who we are. I don't say goddamn America. I say God bless America. God bless America. Thank you. Thank you. And we're like, oh, thank God. Thank God. For a second, we thought a black man was going to be upset about how he's treated in America. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Because if one starts, I don't know if you know any history. We try to keep it under wraps. We've made it illegal in some states. But there are some examples where it would be like a floodgate. It would be like all of a sudden you're hearing about the worst stories ever. And they're going to be like reparations. And then we're done. Cause if we actually paid what we owed to descendants of slaves, guess what? We'd all be homeless shitting on the sidewalk in San Francisco while the blacks are in their mansions, driving their fancy cars, because I'm a real racist. So I use like Cadillac imagery from the set, you know,
drinking their Sprite,
their big Cadillacs, wearing fur coats. What 1970s racist dream did you wake up from, sir? So we have a situation where Obama has to apologize for his pastor because his pastor was not dutifully respectful enough of America. Okay. Then we cut to Trump, who owns the anthem. He's a big white guy.
Right.
So he can say, America sucks. America's a piece of shit. Not only that, I'm going to hump this flag during the anthem. I'm going to grab my daughter's hips in front of the flag, and that's good. You know what I mean? That's good love. It's good love. Look at those hips. Look at that big tits on my daughter. We love America. We love America. We love America. It's so great. So we let him get away with it as well, just like hockey fans. And we have, and so that is, I think, in a nutshell, what I think America is. It is default. The default is that white people own it and can do with it what they please. And that everybody else has to sign in and sign out, like a library card or a lease to an apartment. Like you get to enjoy the free, but you must show proper respect. I mean, hockey games, I'm exaggerating only slightly, but hockey games, I sit there all the time and I'm like, it's every hockey arena there because they're very white spaces. And it's a very like, we aren't even thinking we're disrespecting it, you know?
Yeah.
And I'm just like, wow, this is crazy. Now, I watched a scene from Yellowstone. That's a teaser for a future episode. And it was like a livestock auction.
Yeah.
And I watched it and I thought they all stood for the anthem, which they, of course, before you buy livestock, you've got to salute the flag. but they all stayed quiet until the end. And then they clapped. And I was like, well, I like that at least. If you're going to pretend like it's important, at least go through, do it.
Yeah.
Or if you think it's important, treat it like it's important. At least I can respect that. But this double standard, but this is emblematic to me of America, where America belongs to white people. That is what Trump has spoken to.
Yes.
And that is what, and he, it's not just for white people. It's for people who want the white experience. And boy, oh boy, do Latinos want the white experience. Man, do they want it. Because they're like, are we pushing it too far? Italians seem to be white people's limit for whiteness.
Yes.
But changing demographics, we're in a bargain. We have a good bargaining position with Republicans. Cubans have led the way.
Yeah.
Yes. They've opened a door, mostly white Cubans, but they've opened a door that we can walk, that we can salsa through. And not too much, though. Not too much hip movement. Mm-hmm. Okay. Act.
You're white now.
Act demure.
Right.
Act mindful. See how you made that reference like 5 days before I ever saw that video.
And now like, it's 2 months it's out of style. It's 2 months late.
Right. but I bring that all up and we're going to take a break before getting into more nitty gritty of the election. But this is the backdrop with which Democrats are really operating. They are the multicultural party. They're the nannies because they have more responsibility. Because they don't get to own all the things that Republicans get to own these things. They own the military. Mm-hmm. So Trump can say they're suckers and losers and my generals are a bunch of dumb fucks.
Yeah.
Wow. The respect for people who've given their lives mm-hmm. to serving the country. He was a loser and stupid and nobody liked him. Oh, what? I mean, God, I feel I mean, is that an F-16 flying overhead while Lee Greenwood plays? Jeez. So all these things, they own faith. They yeah. own it.
Oh, yeah.
So they can abuse it. Whereas Democrats have to go bend over backwards. You know what? I'm not an atheist. I have my doubts and I have my challenges with faith. But we can't not. And Bill Maher, this is the one point Bill Maher has made.
That's 2 weeks in a row.
Where you can't be, you couldn't be an atheist, an outward atheist, and run for president.
Clearly not.
Right.
Yeah.
And to me, that's, of course, wrong. Just like you should be able to be a Muslim and run for president. But we all know these are things I'm saying that everybody likes to live in the theory of America. The reality of America is ugly and it's uglier than it should be because you'd think we'd made progress. You'd think we'd advance, but we're really taking significant steps back. So we'll talk more about the election specifically, but I think with that backdrop, the Democrats and liberals are playing with such a handicap. It's such a handicap array, embodied by the Electoral College, by the way.
Yeah. Well, I'm going to ask you, I have a question to ask you after the break.
Okay.
And I'm serious when I ask this question. It's
tease them, give them the question now, and then I'll answer it after the break.
So that's a good, you're good. Good job.
Thank you.
I want to know when we get back from break, JL, at this point in time, as we sit here in 2024,
day after the election,
who is the Democratic Party for?
Okay.
And I have my thoughts, but I want to hear your thoughts when we come back from the break.
And we'll be back with my thoughts. And we're back, Mike. Was that a tough break with you eagerly anticipating my answer to your question?
It was, yeah. It's because it's something that I have been thinking a lot about. I obviously have my thoughts. And I think just to go into it a little further on kind of like where I'm at with it, I was thinking about it a lot today when I was kind of watching people's recaps and listening to the daily and listening to this and that. I do wonder at this point.
I've got such a good answer. I really should run for office.
Okay.
Great answer.
I do think at this point, after seeing the results of this election, seeing how much of these demographics sort of got broken up, because that's what we were talking about before. That was like the Democratic strategy. You know, we'll win Black America, we'll win Black men, we'll win Latin people, and they're sort of leaving now. You also, I would think, based off of how much better Biden did in a lot of these key districts that I was seeing all night, that maybe enough Democratic voters, typically Democratic voters, stayed home. And those could be maybe the more extreme lefties mm-hmm. Who did not like the Democratic plan for Israel and Palestine.
Can you look up if they called Michigan yet?
Yeah, sure.
Thank you. Just when you get a chance while I'm ranting.
I'll take a look. But so you're kind of, they're not really running, even though Republicans think that they're running very far left, they're still not really running far enough left to be radical.
Right.
And they're not running close enough to the center to kind of pick up that working class vote that we were talking about before. So that is my question now.
Yeah.
I voted for Kamala Harris because in my mind, I was like, I am a Democrat. I'm not going to vote for Trump as long as abortion is on the ballot, as long as there are certain key issues that I just can't vote Republican because I just don't support those things. Mm-hmm. I got excited enough about Kamala Harris.
Yeah.
But I mean,
I did too.
Was I over the moon about her? Was she my candidate? Not really. I still voted for her. But I mean, it's not like I was necessarily as excited to vote for her as I was just praying that we could keep Trump out of the White House.
Right.
And I think that's a pretty unfavorable position to be in as a voter.
Sure.
To feel like, well, I'm lukewarm on this person. I like them enough. But I just we have to keep this other person out or we're fucked. Mm-hmm. And now you just start to feel like we're fucked. And you start to feel like the party, like I said before, there's just this confusion about what's going to happen. Doesn't seem like there are real rising stars. It's becoming more and more clear that the people
there are
that,
conventional rising stars, but one of them's a woman.
Yeah.
One AOC? Of them's gay. No, Gretchen Whitmer.
Oh, sure. Yeah.
Big Gretch.
Right.
Great, good looking woman. That's but not Fox News good looking enough. Isn't right. willing to slut it up
yeah.
to get bros going like hey, hey.
Yeah. Well, so my final thought on this was basically like, and I hate to make
you're still
it
gonna answer the question you asked 20 minutes ago.
Yes, though. I know. Okay, I'm just making my case. And I hate to make it about this because I don't think, again, in an idealistic America, I don't think things should be like this. Mm-hmm. But it is hard to not notice that. Some of this cultural shift in America starts happening when the Dems stop running two white guys for office.
Yeah.
And as great as it was to elect Obama and reelect him and have a black man in office and then have a woman on the ballot and then have a woman of color on the ballot, you know, both of those elections, they did lose.
Yeah.
And, you know, do you win back some of those people in the middle? I answer the original question because mm-hmm. I think it's a further discussion, but yes. You know, that's kind of where I'm feeling as a fairly young Democratic voter.
Here's my answer.
Yeah.
Senator, you can have my answer now. My answer is this. Nothing.
Well, okay, Michael Corleone, you aren't taking care of the white farmers and you're not taking care. You're too woke. You're too woke and you can have your wokeness and your DEI, but you can have my hands on that.
Yeah.
Anyway, Pat Geary, top 15 performance of all time, according to me.
Iconic.
G.D. Spradlin. Here's what I say the Democrats are for. And I know you have to make it individual. You have to say. And I'm going to, there's a comedian, Ryan Stout.
By the way, real quick, the AP has called Michigan for Trump.
Okay. There you go. Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Point erased. Ryan Stout is a very funny comedian. Look him up. He was a young phenom because I remember he won the Boston Comedy Festival way back in 2005. I was 26. He was 22. Got on stage in a suit. A very polished comic. Almost like if a late night TV comedian was dark as fuck. Like if the Tonight Show was like morbid.
Yeah.
But he was upbeat. He had this, I mean, he had a joke. I'm going to share a joke of his. And it was so good. And I was so impressed with how he had to have worked this joke. Because it's the kind of joke that until you perfect it, you're getting weird looks. You're getting booed. You're making people uncomfortable.
Yeah.
So I respect it that much more because it had to go through probably trials of fire. But he says, I have come up with a new diet. Okay, hear me out now. It's called the sexual assault diet. You get up in the morning, you pick out, I mean, I'm butchering a little bit. He's like, you pick out a victim and then you go for a light jog. That's cardio. That's getting your heart rate up. And then you get her and that's like, it's called resistance training. And then there's the actual sex that burns calories. And the diet is very simple. It's a rape for breakfast, a rape for lunch, a sensible dinner. When he said sensible dinner, that's really the punchline in a way.
Yeah.
Like sense of, like that's the punchline.
Yeah.
It's 95% horror. It's the clean part. That's the joke.
Right.
Now he's a great comic. I haven't seen, but I don't, he's out in LA. We follow each other on Twitter, but I haven't seen him perform in probably a decade, like live, been in the same room as him. But he did a thing. I was performing, and this is the point. I was at the Stardome in 2009 in Birmingham, Alabama. And the, as usual, the staff liked me, audiences not so much. Mm-hmm. And a guy who's working the soundboard or something, he comes up to me, he says, "Hey, I like your stuff. Do you know Ryan Stout?" And I go, "Sure." And he goes, "Yeah, he did this funny thing. He was headlining here like last week or 2 weeks ago. And he did this thing to the crowd, knowing that they're an Alabama crowd." He gets up on stage and in his like uber confident, he goes, "Hello, everybody." Like, however he did it. Like, he was like, "Hi, everybody. Tonight, we're going to have fun. Well, half of us are going to have fun. We're going to have one of the great shows we've ever seen. And half of the people just won't be with us. So everybody, if you're going to be with me, wave bye-bye to the people who won't join us." And now everybody wants to be, you don't want to be waved bye-bye to.
Yeah.
You want to be on that. You want to be part of the haves, not the have-nots. It's a brilliant, whether it worked or not, it's a brilliant way to start a show when you are confident that you're going to divide the crowd or that only half will dig you.
Yeah.
So I bring that up because what I would say for the Democrats is we're supposed to pander and say we're for the working man. We're for the working man and woman, and we're for justice and equal rights. And here's what I would say. The Democrats are for progress and all that that encompasses. Progress in people's individual liberties and rights. Progress in technology and science. Progress in growing the middle class. Progress in getting things to work better for everybody. And yes, internationally, progress for a more peaceful world. Now, there's a lot of room for our farm workers, for our teachers, for our students, for our elderly to be part of this progress, because we're going to pay for home health aides and more at-home care. We are going to expand, because progress doesn't just mean more money, although that is part of our plan. Progress means everybody having a little bit better life than they had a month ago or a year ago, whoever they are, whether that means more respect of your gender identity, although I wouldn't say that, let's be honest, I'd leave that one out, but you get what I'm saying. I'd find a way to hide that one in there and get out of here, Dylan Mulvaney. It's not your turn to speak. But in other words, I would present it as progress is our goal. Progress is our mission. Progress is the ethos. Is that simple? Yes. Is making progress happen for everybody simple? No. It's going to take people who know the government. It's going to be people who believe government can be a vehicle for good, but also people who believe in the entrepreneurial spirit of America. Because guess what? We can't make you progress, but we can open up lanes. We can create places where you can progress. But that's not just low taxes. That is progress for people to be themselves, to feel comfortable, to feel accepted. Whether you are a conservative white guy who doesn't like Democrats or you are a trans student in a college, you both should feel like this. You have a stake in America. So as we progress, what we will be doing is having opportunities for businesses, but having opportunities for people to feel who they that they can be themselves, that they will be protected as people. And the world, we want to make it a safer place also. I don't want to police the world, but guess what? We have the most weapons, the most money, the strongest army. With that comes, as Spider-Man said, for all you Marvel cunts out there, with great, Uncle Ben, excuse me, with great power comes great responsibility. With great power doesn't come great arrogance and great cruelty. It's great responsibility. And that, to me, is what progress is. That's what the Democrats stand for. I think on some levels, Republicans would agree with us. But I think the way we get there, ours is the way to have a fuller, more encompassing progress of both prosperity and personal freedom and personal happiness, not just a higher stock market, though we want that to be part of it, but a fuller, more encompassing progress. That's what Democrats stand for. And everybody is welcome. Everybody is welcome, but not all bullshit will be tolerated. Cruelty is not part of this progress. Hoarding wealth at the top is not progress. Discouraging unions is not progress. We have historical evidence that unions build a middle class, that they are part of a progress in our history, that more rights leads to better progress. We tap the talent of our citizenry when they feel comfortable to be themselves. So yes, you might think you might not understand trans issues right now, but you know what? There might be a Rhodes Scholar or a math genius or a business genius or a great athlete somewhere that doesn't feel like they can be themselves, whatever that means. We have to let them feel comfortable being themselves so we can tap their talent. That's progress. Progress is not demonizing communities, pitting communities against one another, hoarding wealth at the top, enabling allies to a point of disaster. That's not progress. That's protectionism. That's trying to protect and hoard what you have. And when you do that, if I can cite scripture, Brother Mike, the gospel of the talents, and this is one I always liked, where a master or an owner of land gives his three employees talents. And I don't know what the fuck a talent is, but we know what talent is, but it was like a coin. Mm-hmm. And one guy gets like five and takes it to somewhere and turns it into 10. And the master or the owner is like, good job. Thank you. Here, keep this and go have fun. One guy turned two talents into four. And he's like, great job. Well done. And one guy buried his in the dirt. And he's like, here you go. Kept it safe. And he goes, get the fuck out of here. I gave you that to do something with it, not to hoard it and protect it and not grow it. Now, that can sound like an economic argument, but it can also sound when we deny our fellow citizens their opportunities and their chance to be themselves, we are stifling their talents. We are stifling who they can be, whether it's a great baker, a great sanitation worker, a great teacher, a great soldier, a great athlete, a great scholar, the next Elon Musk. See how I'm using Elon Musk? Like saying, hey, I'll give you your credit, Elon. Unlike Joe Biden, who didn't invite you because you're a fucking creep, let's be honest. But that's progress. Progress in an all, that is what the Democratic Party stands for. Now, some of you may hear progress and you think, yeah, what woke progressive. Hey.
But wait, hold on. Can I interject?
Wow.
I didn't ask you what the party stands for.
No, but I'm telling you, that is how I would say it. And I gave you the answer of like, it stands for everybody who is for progress. Everybody who wants that may sound like a platitude. I get it. But that's why I'm giving a more detailed answer.
But do you think
answer.
that still actually applies?
Yes.
I think that the reason that I asked.
It doesn't. That's why I threw in. It doesn't stand for people whose core values are bigotry and isolationism and hate.
No, but I
think. So they may not find that. They may not be as comfortable in this space.
I think I kind of meant like if the Dems. Like
gay black people. there, more specific answer. Gay black people.
If the right is moving this far to the right,
yes,
and picking up the people in the middle along the way, I guess that's part of my question is if they're, it just seems like the Democrats are, they're losing the middle and also not picking up people all the way at the end of the spectrum. And that's why I'm sort of just like, what is, other than being the last line of defense against a dictator.
Right.
What is the appeal? Who are they picking up along the way to sort of forming the new party?
What I'm giving to you, because I know that's kind of what you're asking, I'm trying to give to you a new message that will resonate a little more broadly because it's... Democrats are burdened with being the adults in the fucking room,
which I agree with,
and with having to be nuanced in a country that increasingly doesn't want nuance.
Yeah,
they want. I mean, I posted a tweet during the ongoing shit in Gaza, but I had said, isn't a way for Kamala and or Joe to distance themselves to sort of pin it on Bibi Netanyahu, that like a little sleight of hand where it's like, We stand with the state of Israel,
yeah.
But the way Bibi Netanyahu is executing this is unacceptable to us. And it's in fact unacceptable to some of his generals who he just fired like his defense minister. So clearly if the guy in charge of defense of Israel is like, fuck this guy, I should feel safe.
Yes.
I should feel safe saying, say fuck this guy.
Yes.
Now, Israel is a long-standing ally.
Yeah.
As a country, as a people, we stand with it. But what's going on, we will not countenance. We do not agree with the execution of this war. And we will not, you know, we are going to withhold weapons. And I've made, and I'm saying it very clear, Bibi Netanyahu is not a good faith partner. We don't believe he's invested in peace.
Yeah.
We don't believe we can trust him. That's the facts. Now, you can call me anti-Israel, but guess what? I'm with a lot of people in Israel right now who share the same opinions of me, including some IDF people, including his defense minister who he just fired. So call me woke, call me anti-Israel, but you've got to call people on the IDF anti-Israel too then. And that will sound very stupid. That's how I would say that, and let the chips fall where they may. But I've made a case where I've thread a needle, I think. Now I put that on Twitter. One person accused me of a blood libel against Israel, and somebody told me I was condoning genocide.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, well, I guess I give up.
Yeah, right.
I mean, if really what I win. Just said, because in a compromise, in a peaceful, in making a peace, guess what? Nobody gets 100%. And yeah. It seems like both sides at the, I don't want to say even at extremes, but maybe slight extremes, they want 100%. They don't want 85%. They don't want 72%, even though that might mean less death and less violence. They believe, nope, if you don't allow us to prosecute this war with wanton cruelty, you are restraining us and we are just defending ourselves. And if you attack anywhere in Gaza, no matter who's sitting there or plotting, you are a genocide committer.
Yeah.
And no. So I thought once again, I was trying to like, so I think that Joe Biden was, and I will say this, I don't think Kamala Harris, and I've been trying to think to myself, I'm sure she was a great prosecutor. I'm sure she presented well in court. As a politician, and I hate this because I try to check myself, like, I'm like, is this a masculine bias in me or is she not that good?
Mm.
Because you, like Hillary Clinton, I was fine with because I grew up with a strong, smart mom who didn't, it was, she wasn't but it wasn't like, oh, my hair. Oh, don't touch. Like,
yeah.
She was a fucking blue collar, you know,
dirty nails.
Irish American. No, she got her nails done.
Okay,
but in spirit, her nails were dirty with dirt and blood.
Yeah.
Sometimes my blood, I think.
Yeah.
Shut the fuck. Anyway. Hillary Clinton resonated with me because to me, I viewed her the way I would view a man. And I don't mean that she was a man. I mean, I see somebody steely and competent,
yes. Yeah.
And smart.
Yeah.
The traits I want.
Serpentine.
That's the way to spin it. But I thought I looked at her and said, her traits in a man, not a problem.
Right.
And I,
killer.
Whereas I don't think Kamala Harris is necessarily a killer or a boardroom CEO, but she has been a DA. She has been a leader of people. And I find her attractive. And I'm wondering if I maybe have some biases. None of these biases gave me any pause in supporting her.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to think in somebody who's not as sold, do they look at her and go, Trump is just more leader-like? Because he's not.
I think
he's the caricature, just like he is. This is another thing. I'm sorry. I have a separate topic about Matt, you know, because he appealed to masculinity.
Right. Well, it's funny because I do think at this, anecdotally, anything that I'm pulling out right now is anecdotally. It's people that I've spoken to in my life, people that are close to me that either have voted for Trump, had relatives that voted for Trump, and conversely, people that are liberal, I don't even want to say Democrats, but people that are liberal that didn't vote, that chose to stay home.
Yeah.
And this is why I'm kind of pulling all of these things out. I feel, based off of talking to people, I don't think that this election was as contingent on, well, I don't know if I can vote for a woman. Like, what is she going to get her period and nuke China? And like, I don't think that was as much of a conversation.
I think it's I know people hate these terms because it sounds like DEI terminology, implicit bias. Yeah,
sure. And I mean, I'm not ruling that out at all. I'm not saying that that wasn't a factor, but with Hillary, it was a major talking point.
Yes.
I think it was like at the forefront of the conversation of why some people just couldn't bring themselves to vote for her. I think with Kamala, I do think, unfortunately, is even though we felt sort of confident a month or two ago that she had all this momentum and maybe the short campaign actually was going to be a benefit. I still think that backfired.
No, I still think the short campaign worked. I think they would have hated her more if she had a year.
I mean, it's possible, I think familiarity would have bred contempt.
She's a woman. That's all we ever fucking see in national politics. Maybe. Hillary Clinton was the most familiar woman, and everybody, like so many people, hated her and ignored the fact that she was clearly a good choice to be a leader.
I think that, I think, again,
yeah,
people that, anecdotal, I think that part of the issue was
I heard things.
I think that she did not have enough time to get enough of her platform out to people. Sure. And not to say that she didn't have one,
yeah,
but I think that they bet hard on abortion, which, I mean, why wouldn't you? That seems to be.
And if I can just very quickly, I think what backfired here is, and this is a strategy that I would have adjusted. A lot of Republicans didn't want the abortion issue on the ballot as like a referendum item,
mm-hmm,
because they thought, oh no, everybody's going to come out and vote Democrat. They'll be like abortion Democrats.
Right. Except Florida.
What they should have done was left it off.
Yeah.
Because they let Republican politicians off the hook. They get to pick a la carte.
Right.
They get to go, I don't want my daughter or my wife to have another baby, but I can still vote for the racist who rapes chicks.
Right.
Whereas if you have to choose a politician who supports abortion rights and a politician who doesn't, you have to factor that in.
Yeah.
That has to be factored. So I think they saw all these big wins in states as like a harbinger of like, oh, let's put it on the ballot. It'll lead to more votes. Leave it off the ballot and force people to choose a candidate based on the issue rather than let them separate the issue from the candidate.
Counterpoint to that, though, wouldn't that long term, if abortion is going to go to all the states, and people are obviously not state lines, but demographics are being redrawn. You know, we started seeing like Ohio now is a red state.
Oh boy.
It's not a swing state anymore.
Sherrod Brown, by the way, hero of the working man, as he's Bernie Sanders. I call him Bernie Sanders with actual liberal accomplishments.
Working.
He lost to some schmuck because now it's just Democrats have to go. It's gotta be a purge, a red wedding of Democrats, because even the guy who's been fighting for you and is the real deal, they don't care about us anymore.
Yeah.
Sherrod Brown cares more about you than your fucking parents. And you were like, get out of here, Sherrod. That sounds like a black name. Is that Sherrod Brown? Sherrod, I ain't have no gangbanger in my fucking Senate. Get out of here, gangbanger, Sherrod. Bang, bang.
So with all these states now kind of changing, not all.
Wouldn't
of them,
that be an ad you'd run if you were running against Sherrod Brown? You'd be like, Sherrod Brown,
yeah,
is from Cleveland. Sherrod Brown pals around with LeBron. Sherrod Brown has a big
black dick. He's black.
Just black and white, like a negative. So he looks black in the photo.
Would having the abortion on the ballot, leaving it up to the states, obviously there's some states that are, New York voted to protect abortion rights.
Shocker.
Would that just eventually start driving more liberal people out of places that could potentially be battleground states to places where they know their rights are going to be protected? If abortion is on the ballot for you as a voter, and you just say, you know what, fuck it, I'm tired of Florida, I'm going to move to New Jersey or New York. Would that just eventually put all those people in one place, and then we really truly do have a more divided country 10 years from now?
Maybe. I look forward to it. I'll be leading the Civil War.
But doesn't that fuck things up for the future?
Things are fucked up already.
I guess that's a good
point. That's like, things are fucked up already, and the allure of Trump, the simplicity, the brutality, the arrogance of he's like the last defiant white man.
Yeah.
He's unapologetic. He's the fantasy. He's what they want to say when they go to their human resources. They want to touch that woman's hair. They want to talk truthfully about the NBA and how they don't like how they're all flashy.
Yeah.
And they can't, they can't do that. And Trump, that is what he embodies. It's not that he embodies patriotism or values. He embodies fuck you.
Yeah.
And when you have one side whose ethos is go fuck yourself, And then you demand of the other side, what's your plan? How do you include me? What do you, I have compared Democrats at this point to Rod Tidwell and Jerry Maguire. Like Kamala Harris is on the phone losing clients and voters. Like we're going and Rod Tidwell, you know, black men for Harris are like, Kamala, show me the plan.
Yeah.
And they're just like, I need to see the plan. Say you love black men, Kamala. I love the black man. Say you love the black man. I love the black man. Are you going to divorce your Jewish husband? I'll divorce my Jewish husband. You love the black man. Congratulations. You have our 5 votes. And then you look at the phone and everybody else is hung up.
Yeah.
Cause she had to go in this, she had to do this fucking, this like ritual, like shaming of herself to be like, I have a plan for black men. And it includes crypto. Oh my God. And I'm not blaming her. She probably listened to guy and just wanted to give this barber. She probably talked to some people who were like, you know, it's some of these issues concern us. And a lot of it was already in her plan, but she just simply made it like, this was something black men will benefit from. This is something you can. And she like, I really think it was Jerry Maguire, like the phone call from Jerry Maguire. That's what it was. It's like, she has to waste all her time securing this one client who should already just be like, of course I'm going to be your client.
Yeah.
While everybody else hangs up and goes with, what was his name? Suge or Jay Moore's character. Anyway, yeah,
I was like 5.
Okay. So, you never saw a movie, that came out?
I haven't when you were seen a kid? It in like
Godfather. How old were you when The Godfather came out, Mike?
I haven't seen Jerry Maguire.
How old were you when Godfather 3 came out? Zaza.
Zaza.
Just when I thought, you know what I did want to put a gif of last night? Just when I thought I was out there pulling back in. But I want to talk before we leave.
Yeah.
Okay. So the election was a disaster. It was a beating that to me should send a message. Everybody wants to pick out their one issue. Like, see, if she had supported if she had been more forceful about a ceasefire, she would have won all 8 states.
Oh no. Yeah. Yeah.
Right. If it had come down to Michigan, I could say, hey, Michigan. Oh, if she had just been, she intentionally, by the way, avoided, identity politics. Didn't talk about being the first woman president. Didn't talk about being a black woman, Indian woman. She left that out.
Yeah.
That didn't matter.
Yeah.
So, Hillary was too identity politics. Well, Kamala didn't do any identity politics. Fuck both them bitches.
Yeah.
That's what America said.
Yeah.
Actually, heads we win, tails you lose, ladies. That's our approach to women in politics. And I said this in my video, my viral video. America does not like women. Like, and I said this, I said, no, I get it, fellas. You're like, I jerk off to porn all the time. I love ladies. I fucking love women. I love women. You hate them as people. You love them as vaginas and tits and ass. You hate them as people. You don't respect them as people. America does not respect women as people. And I know there will be somebody, and I always love this, no matter how vulgar my comedy is, no matter how much I don't give a fuck, as soon as I say something like that, look at this fucking tuck. Did you tuck your penis before saying that? Did you tuck your cock before you supported women as people? That's what you get. This is a beta. This low T guy. This low T guy thinks women are people.
Yeah.
So we hate women as a country. Like we they are second class citizens, and we can pretend that we love them when they're hot. And oh man, isn't she? Or like you subscribe to an OnlyFans, so I guess you support women. But it's more than that. They're people. Okay. Women are people. If you get anything out of this, women are people. Okay. That's one of the messages of the JL Democratic Party. That's a platform item, Mike.
Okay. Gotcha.
That is on our platform. Yeah. Women are people.
Sounds like a platitude to me, but I guess.
Well, you know, I'm a little woke. I'm trying to figure out how to phrase it. Bitches are real. Something that's a little more like,
okay,
I'm not a pussy.
That's got a little edge to it.
Yeah. Bitches for JL. That's the bumper sticker. Cunts for Covan. There's the bumper sticker. Anyway, the masculinity issue, because I saw Scott Galloway. Do you know Scott Galloway?
I do, yeah.
Let's see if I can do the impression. I've been working on all of it. Mike.
The mouth is good.
Because he laughs, and then when he's on the mic, he's like, Mike, I'm about to say a lot of stats at you right now. Mike, when I go into a gym, 68% of women under 30 want to fuck me rather than the guys under 30 because they don't have jobs and they don't have opportunity. They look miserable. Mike, when I was 17, 950 women wanted to fuck me. The average 17-year-old now has, if he's lucky, half a woman to fuck. Mike, men are not getting jobs. Women are doing better in life. We have to have an outreach to young men. We have to have an outreach to young men where we can say to young men, you can come. You can come. You can use a sex worker. It's important that you come. It's an important lesson for men. 92% of men are coming less than they did 14 years ago, Mike. That's a disaster for cum right now. And basically what I'm saying is we have to have outreach for men because they feel left behind. Just because women who were oppressed for centuries have finally had the shackles lifted and are thriving, we have to make men feel like they're not being left behind, even though they are being left behind because they got atrophied and used to a society that favored them overwhelmingly over women. But now women are succeeding. So it's important that we get men together. We get them feeling good about themselves. That's why Joe Rogan and these alpha male spaces are thriving. 92% of men under 38 listen to Joe Rogan 4 times a week. 62% listen 5 times a week. 13% listen to each episode 6 times a week. We have to do something. We have to save our young men. It's important we get them jacking off, coming, possibly coming into women. It's important. We're losing a generation of young men. Thank you, Scott Galloway. The masculinity talk to me, these episodes have been fucking fire. I really want more people to be listening to the show. I think we've been on a really good run.
Yeah. All it took was the end of the country.
Yeah. Well, like my career, remember, 2020.
You're back.
Millions are dying. Showtime.
Hey, so what's up? Did you die? I think you want to hear my jokes. Okay. Donald Trump impression. All right.
Okay, guys, I just got the buzzkill. All right.
No, just to fit to your point.
No, no. Okay, Beetlejuice impression. Everybody can do all the things I do. I got it. What do you stand for? What does Slickback Studios stand for? Certainly not tall biracial geniuses.
Bankruptcy.
Well, okay. It's called taking advantage of bankruptcy laws. I didn't go bankrupt. I took advantage of bankruptcy laws. It's not called rape. I took advantage of helpless women. I did not rape. Thank you, Trump. I would say,
okay.
I would say this masculinity thing is a joke because I get it. And we talked about this on an earlier episode. Corinne Fisher actually, I think, said, thank you for me stepping out and proclaiming that maybe women are better than men.
Our Lost Men episode.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, I love that episode. I wish I was doing a Scott Galloway.
That's a classic.
At that point.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because what I felt about it was, men, we want alpha men, unless they're not doing as well. And then they get to be the biggest betas in the world and demand bros and alpha male role models and help getting into school and forming communities and making friends. Women fought and have now thrived and they're dominating certain industries. There's more Mike, today there's more women in law school than there are men in law school. Okay, we have a disaster for young men going to law school. 72% of young men are not going to law school and they're not even beating off when they get rejected from law school. We have to help them beat off and get into graduate school. It's this faux masculinity, like Tim Walz. Okay. Would have been our vice president. Now he's just going to go back to Minnesota eating corn dogs.
Yeah.
But Tim Walz was a gun owner, farmer, father, a husband, a football coach, but he was nice to trans kids and gay kids, and he made them feel welcome. And that offsets all the traditional masculine things about him. Now, if he was gruff and not as friendly and spit, like had dip in his mouth and spit when he talked, that's a man. But as soon as he was nice to people who were left behind, unless he's helping white straight guys get ahead, then he's being a man. He's being a mentor. He's setting an example. But if he's got a gay kid in his class, he's like, it's okay if you're gay.
Oh, geez. Another one helping the gays. What about me?
Yeah.
And that's where this is once again, the vision of masculinity. And it's not taking. It is not taking with the right wing manosphere should be one of inclusion. There's nothing not masculine about inclusion. Obviously, if you're on a team, you got to get cut from the team. I get that. But in terms of society, there's nothing wrong with being friends or being open to somebody who's different, but it's like this idea, this faux idea of domination. And yet our men are in crisis. Our young men are in crisis. It's this look, but don't touch, but don't taste. He's an absentee landlord. That's where we are. That's what we've created. We've created this can't lose system for men. Now Trump represents you can't lose. Because I touch women when I want. I have money. Nobody tells me what to do. You shoot me in the ear. I'm okay. And men are like, nobody cares about us. Well, my message would be, sack up, pussy, because that's what you tell everybody else. If a trans person wants to sell a beer, what the fuck is this? But if you're like, everybody's talking about black people and women, nobody cares about us. How is that not a pussy? In their parlance, yeah. Because when a black guy says, well, I can't get, oh God, playing the race card again, Jesus Christ, just work harder, brother. Oh, women, well, you're doing so well now. Women, it's not 1840. You're more, Scott Galloway just told us there's more of you in law school. There's more of them in law school than I. There's more of you. Like, so they'll be like, but what about us? Nobody's ever saying what, you know why? Because you set the game. You set the rules. People are trying to play by yours, just like the anthem, bringing it back. You own it. Whether you like to, I know you don't own it, but the system was built by people like you for you. Now, if you're not getting ahead as much, maybe you're not as talented as you think. Maybe some of those white guys that did better than you were better than you, that it's not your birthright to have the greatest life. And that when you don't have the greatest life, you need jacked Professor Scott Galloway giving data on how you're in crisis when you have no these people. Obviously, there's plenty of sympathetic, empathetic white people. I don't mean, but I'm talking to the people who love Trump.
Yeah.
You have no empathy and no sympathy, but oh man, has Trump perfected the, they're so nasty to me. Nobody's ever been treated more. That's right, Mr. President. Nobody's ever been treated more. But am I the best? I'm stronger than all these people. I'm better looking than Kamala. Oh, so you're so great, but also need to be protected. Look, but don't touch. Touch, but don't taste. Okay. So the point is, there is this pot, there is this jumbo of bullshit in America. And I think what Democrats need, obviously, is a tall, charismatic, biracial firebrand. They do. And I'm only kidding.
Maybe that's your pivot.
They need somebody like what I'm doing, which is to just be like, no, the message is one of hope, inclusion, love, and success. But I'm not going to go, we don't hate, we love. We don't fight, we cooperate. I'm exaggerating. She never said this, but you get what I'm saying. It would be, and when we fight, we win. I like when they go low, kick them. And that we need a little bit of that, but somebody who is not afraid to just, you don't need to be a stand-up comic. But somebody who's like, I will not be talked down to by this daddy's boy fraud. Like if somebody said that to you're the fraud, he'd have a fucking meltdown and start peeing his pants. This is your king. I'd go fucking Killmonger on him to rip off my shirt. I would have seen a trainer for like 6 months so I could
do it. Yeah.
I'd be like, this is your king. Look at his poopy diaper. He's got a big saggy diaper right there. This is who you want to lead us. When he sees Xi, when he walks up to Xi and Putin and he smells like poo poo, are they going to say, sir, did you have something bad for lunch? It's like, no, I have poopy in my pants. That's who we want to lead us. That's your guy, MAGA. I would fucking humiliate him. I would lose on the grounds of people saying too cruel. I would go too cruel before I go not cruel enough. I would want to fucking pants that bitch in public everywhere I went. I'd be like, excuse me. I can't walk. Uh-oh. Like I would fucking torture him. That's the way to do it. I would fight fire with nukes.
Yeah, right.
And I think we don't have anybody that will do that because I would want the message to people to be, I'm with you. I'm with every one of you. If you want to succeed, but you're not going to step in front of other people's success. You're not going to hate people for success. You're going to want to succeed yourself and we're all going to grow together. That motherfucker, though, ain't going nowhere in my America. That dude's a problem. He's a bitch. He's a pig. Fuck him. This message was approved by J.O. Covan. He's a psychopath. So that's it, guys. I like the faux masculinity. That's the longest campaign ad in history. Yeah, that was an hour and 15 minute ad. How are we going to buy that ad space? But here's what I will say. I'm in Princeton this Friday and Saturday at Catch a Rising Star. Get your tickets on my website. Join my Patreon. We had a great time. Maybe I'll be doing more of that stuff as Trump and as other characters to spice it up. So thank you to everybody who joined the Patreon. I hope you stay on because there'll be other content, other varieties of content there. And that's all my announcements for now. Obviously, I want people to watch Half Blackface on Amazon Prime, leave a nice review. But basically, I think we're in real trouble. And I think we need a Quint. I've made that analogy before. We need somebody to walk in and go, I'll get Rogan. I'll get Trump. I'll get the whole fake bunch of fucking alpha males. But it's going to cost you. You're going to have to put up with some cursing. You're going to have to deal with a guy who has better jokes than Trump. And you're going to have to deal with the fact that sometimes I call people pieces of shit. But I'll get it. The whole damn thing. That's what we need. I will support, like, and I don't know that we have that guy on the or woman on the roster.
Nope.
But to me, that's the way forward, is not to Latinos for Trump, Latin men for Trump, fuck them. Go. Be gone. Maybe your sons and daughters will be with us. You can go. We're going to build our base somewhere else. We're going to send out a positive message, but you don't want identity politics? Fine. I'm not doing identity politics. So I don't give a fuck if Latino men are for Trump. I want men for Trump. I want men for JL. I want women for JL. I want that's what I want. I don't give a fuck. I want non-binaries for JL. That's what I want. Mm-hmm. That's the message.
Well, you just lost.
Yeah, no, it's over. I've suspended my campaign 10 seconds after saying that. It's been a good run. Thank you to all my donors. I can't believe I went from 41% in the polls to zero.
In seconds,
but it happened. But I think that's what we need. We have fake masculinity on one side, and we need to present. And I hate to do this because I voted for two women in the last three presidential elections. I liked them both. I think to slay this dragon, and I hate to say this, we need a killer. You need a dragon slayer. You need somebody with some resume, some skills. Gavin Newsom, maybe if he put a scar on his face, made himself a little less pretty, he could be the guy.
Yeah, an eye patch.
He's too goddamn pretty.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
We have fake masculinity. We have bigotry on one side posing as patriotism, posing as some sort of ownership of America that they're owed. The other side needs to come together, and we need a fighter. Policy is good. Everybody, I think that's an excuse. I think when people are like, I need to know more about our policies. No, people want a fighter. And Bernie Sanders is a fighter. I'll give him that. But I will also say this, for all his good qualities, Bernie is a bitch. He came out today with some like, this is why we lost. Will we start working about the working man? Will we start doing things for the working man? Ignoring all the great things that Biden actually did do for the working man. Whether he campaigned correctly about it, he did do great things for the working man. I think it's a bitch move for Bernie to be like playing the same old hits like nothing happened. But we need a fighter. We need a 50-year-old Bernie with a better sense of humor and less of a regional accent.
Yeah.
That's it, guys. We're in the fight now, I guess. I don't want to fight. I don't want to be in any fight, but this country has lost its way. It's not in an active process. The country has lost its way, and I hope we can help it find its way. But if not, I'm going to go on vacation in Toronto sometime in 2025 and see if I like it. So on that note, Mike, anything else to add?
No. Okay. We'd same old stuff. Obviously, if you watch the show, please go over to Apple Podcasts and leave us a review. We would really appreciate that. If you're a listener of the show, go over to YouTube and watch it. You can leave a comment there. Helps us with the algorithm, and it helps more people find the show. So with that note, I got nothing else, JL.
Well, great. Well, thank you for letting me burn a little extra on this episode. I hope you enjoyed it. Please share it with people. Just like you share a 5-minute video of mine with people and say, share the episode, share it. Let's build up the fan base. Let's make this the platform. This is where the campaign will start.
Yes.
What if Rain on Your Parade just became like the Joe Rogan experience for like angry, I'm not going to take it anymore, left of center people?
Let's see if those people exist.
Fuck yeah. I'm hitting the gym. I'll get a sleeve tattoo if I get elected.
Don't do that.
All right, man, guys, Mike, he's a great producer and an even greater buzzkill. I will see you next Thursday.